Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUSCast. I'm your host, Grace Gotchling. On May 6, 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral argument in the consolidated cases of Trump v. Pennsylvania and Little Sisters of the Poor, Saints Peter and Paul Home v. Pennsylvania, which involved three disputes. One, of whether the Department of Health and Human Services, Labor and Treasury had statutory authority under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 to expand the conscious exemption to the contraceptive coverage mandate. Two, whether the agency's decision to forego notice and opportunity for public comment before issuing the interim final rules rendered the final rules, which were issued after notice and comment, invalid under the Administrative Procedure Act. And three, whether the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit erred in affirming a nationwide preliminary injunction barring implementation of the final rules. To discuss the case, we have Aaron Hawley, Senior Fellow at the Kinder Institute for Constitutional Democracy at the University of Missouri, and former professor of law at the University of Missouri School of Law.
Trump versus Pennsylvania, like several other cases this term, was consolidated with another case, the Little Sisters of the Poor, Saints Peter and Paul Home versus Pennsylvania. And if the Little Sisters of the Poor sound familiar, well, that's for good reason. The Little Sisters have been up and back to the United States Supreme Court no less than three times in about a decade, or a little less, actually. Now, one might think the Little Sisters of the Poor are unlikely foes. They are a group of Catholic nuns who provide hospice care to the elderly, poor, and dying, and have been doing so for 175 years. Nevertheless, their religious beliefs have put them in the crosshair of one government or another for the past 10 years. This case originates out of the Affordable Care Act. Under the ACA, employer insurance plans are required to include women's preventive care, which the Department of Health and Human Services interpreted to include every one of the FDA's approved contraceptives. In its regulations, HHS exempted churches, but did not exempt religious nonprofits like the Little Sisters. The only accommodation offered by HHS was an opt-out certification option under which the nonprofit's insurance plan would still pay for the contraceptives. The Little Sisters challenged these regulations and ended up before the U.S. Supreme Court back in 2016. In that case, Zubik versus Burwell, an exasperated court told the government to work it out. They directed HHS to, quote, arrive at an approach going forward that accommodates petitioners' religious exercise, while at the same time ensuring that women covered by petitioners' health plans receive full and equal health coverage, including contraceptive coverage. So that gets us to 2017, when the Trump administration issued new regulations which exempted nonprofits like the Little Sisters from the contraceptive mandate of the Affordable Care Act. And that brings us to 2017, in which the Trump administration issued regulations which expanded the exemption to include religious nonprofits like the Little Sisters. And that's when Pennsylvania and New Jersey sued. So the states, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, raised two primary arguments before the Supreme Court. First, Pennsylvania and New Jersey argued that the Trump administration did not comply with the Administrative Procedure Act when they passed the regulations. In particular, the states focus on the interim regulations and argue that the administration did not provide notice and comment as required by the Administrative Procedure Act. They argue that this means that the final rules are also invalid. As to this Administrative Procedure Act argument, the government responds that the only question at issue is whether the final regulations complied with notice and comment rulemaking, which they did. The government also argues that even if procedural defects in the interim rules invalidate the final rules, that there are still two ways that the rules satisfy the Administrative Procedure Act here. First, because the Secretary of the Department of HHS is authorized to determine which rules are, quote, appropriate. And second, the government notes that the agencies had good cause to issue the interim rules without providing an opportunity for notice and comment. On the substance, the government makes two main arguments for upholding the religious exemptions for entities like the Little Sisters. First, the government argues that the Affordable Care Act itself authorizes these sorts of exemptions.
This is a greater includes the lesser sort of argument. The government argues that the ACA authorizes HHS to determine which preventive care services are required in insurance plans. The government argues that this power also includes the authority to determine exemptions, including exemptions for sincere religious belief.
Pennsylvania and New York argue that although the ACA gave the agencies the power to divide what services must be covered, it does not give them the discretion to carve out exemptions for broad classes of employers. On its second substantive point, the government relies on the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act of 1993. The government argues that that statute authorizes, or perhaps even requires, religious exemptions like the sort offered to the Little Sisters. Under the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act, a government may not substantially burden religious exercise unless it can satisfy strict scrutiny. That is, unless the government can show that it was the least restrictive means of accomplishing the government's critical purpose. The government argues that the contraceptive mandate places a substantial burden on the religious exercise of entities like the Little Sisters, and that there are surely less restrictive means of going about accomplishing the purpose of providing contraception. The states dispute this, arguing that RFRA does not authorize an exemption for the Little Sisters at all because the proposed opt-out does not even, quote, substantially burden religious exercise, end quote. Instead, the conscious exemptions the states maintain go well beyond what RFRA allows. The states argue that the government's interest in providing contraceptives to women is especially crucial. So those are the parties' basic arguments, and I also wanted to offer just a few thoughts on the telephonic oral argument that took place in early May. The thing that became clear most quickly is that unlike the unanimous decision in Zubik, this will be a divided court. Justices Ginsburg and Justices Sotomayor were quite skeptical of the government's arguments, especially that RFRA required this sort of accommodation. In contrast, Justices Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Thomas seemed sympathetic to the government's argument. Thomas, sort of as an aside, also challenged the district court's authority to issue a nationwide injunction. Meanwhile, other justices looked for some sort of middle ground. Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kagan seemed concerned that the exemptions perhaps went too far. They suggested that while the religious exemptions might be permissible under RFRA, perhaps the moral exemptions went too far. And at times, some of the justices seemed just as exasperated as they had in Zubik versus Burwell. The Chief Justice and Justice Breyer in particular repeatedly asked the parties why they couldn't simply work something out. As the Zubik case and Roberts and Breyer's questions make clear, this case does not necessarily pit religious liberty against women's access to contraceptive coverage. As the government argues, there are other ways of ensuring that women have access to contraception. Other programs, other family plans, and the healthcare exchange might all provide options. This was one point in the government's favor at oral argument. The states could not identify a single woman denied coverage because of the religious exemption.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.